This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Governor Gretchen Whitmer this week announced layoff days for many state employees, but work continues in offices of the state amid one of the most consequential years in modern Michigan history. You might have heard this is an election year. Secretary of State offices are closed, along with much of the rest of the state. We called up Jocelyn Benson, Michigan Secretary of State, to talk more about the work her office is doing right now and what lies ahead later in the year. Secretary Benson, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Are you working from home?
Yes, I am.
What does that look like in your role?
It means near constant Zoom calls and communications. And I will say there were a few days, including our May 5th election, where I emerged from my home to visit and really stand in solidarity with our clerks who were working elections that day. And so it was educational in many ways to go over to the west side of the state and spend the day visiting folks in Allegan and Muskegon and Grand Rapids and Kent County. But for the most part, I am, I have a, office in my basement where I spend my days doing Zoom calls from 8 in the morning till sometimes even 8 in the evening.
You have children, don't you?
I have a 3-year-old who thinks he's 10. I'm sure he thinks, if you asked him how old he was, he would say he was maybe a teenager. He's been very, it's been interesting to support him as well during this time. But he's been very understanding and he does Zoom calls with his preschool class. So sometimes I let him sit in my area where I do Zoom videos. I've been focusing on how fortunate I feel to be able to spend this extra time with him and, you know, eating lunch with him and things like that. And he's been remarkably supportive and just understanding of when I need to do a call or just sitting, you know, quietly and watching while I do a video. So for the most part, I've been very fortunate.
That sounds like the most amazing 3-year-old in the history of 3-year-olds.
he's remarkably mature. The other day he did say, "Mama, why are you wearing makeup? Do you have to do a video call?" So he's very observant and he's very thoughtful. But we also have a large backyard where he goes out oftentimes and plays in the sandbox or in the swing set, so he gets lots of activity out there too, and he's able to play independently, which is really nice.
Your department has been moving slowly online in general, trying to get some of the things that we used to do in person onto a digital platform, but there are still mm-hmm. some things that have to be done in person. The photos taken for driver's licenses, having documents seen and approved. How do you imagine the Secretary of State's business might begin these services again before we have a vaccine, which, you know, maybe as much as a year or 2 years mm-hmm. down the line?
I think it's two things. One, noting that those two transactions, for example, that you mentioned, photos for licenses and document review, in many ways, those can and have in other industries gone virtual.
Such as in real estate.
Go in personally.
Such as in real estate or legal matters. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So first and this requires potentially in some cases legislative changes, but we want to continue to explore ways to enable more virtual transactions and educate the public on how to engage in those virtual transactions. That's been a priority of my administration from day one. We're going to continue to expand that. And we've certainly seen more people taking advantage of our virtual offerings during this time. But secondly, you know, certainly in the short term and probably for the medium term, as well as part of the long term, that in-person transaction is going to have to be preserved. And our branch offices will, we hope, resume operations quite shortly. And when they do, they will be by appointment only for the immediate future to avoid crowding in offices and also ensure that in the limited and increasingly limited times in which people do need those in-person transactions, they're able to get them. But while we continue to encourage people to go online or do their transactions by mail.
One of the major tasks that you oversee is a new redistricting committee that's scheduled to begin work next year. Has groundwork begun for getting the parameters set for that at this point?
Yes, we are just about to end the first of three phases for implementing the Citizens Redistricting Commission. And anyone can go to redistrictingmichigan.org to track our progress and get many of their questions answered. But on June 1st, in just a few weeks, the application window will close for citizens wanting to serve on the commission. So people can still go online and apply. And one of the challenges that we met and overcame early on in the pandemic was the fact that to apply to serve on the commission, you have to have your application notarized. So we were able to take advantage of the governor's executive order, allowing for remote notary, and quickly build a system for people to notarize their form from their home. And in doing so, we've been able to continue to hit our targets of getting a significant number of people from all across the state to apply. As of now, citizens in 82 of our 83 counties have applied. We're still trying to get someone from Ontonagon. We're working on it. We've focused on it. But to have that still wide level of acceptance and engagement, even during a time like this, people are continuing to apply, continuing to express an interest in serving on the commission. It's been very encouraging. And that's one of the things that we really haven't lost any ground on in terms of our momentum for building that. Now, after June 1st, applications will close and we'll begin the selection, the random selection process, and the commission will be seated and phase three will begin in the fall.
Are you confident that this process can and should go forward in the post-COVID environment that we now find ourselves?
Yes, I am. In part, if it continues to meet the principles that we established early on in this process of ensuring it is independent, citizen-led, and transparent, all three of those things can happen even in this new normal. Whether it's, you know, requiring the commission to meet remotely or meet with, you know, complying with social distancing and, you know, other health guidelines. The commission is required, once it's seated this fall, to have 15 town halls across the state. And so working to make sure those are done in a way that's accessible.
I mean, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that public meetings via Zoom have something of a mixed record at present.
Yep. They do. And notably, those town halls will likely happen in 2021. So, you know, my hope is that they'll be able to have some sort of in-person element, if not be fully in person by then. The fact that all this and all of these dates are enshrined in our Constitution has created a sense of forward progress that we've continued to meet our deadlines and, continue to not cut corners in order to meet the expectations of the voters who created this commission.
Are you and your staff going forward with the understanding that elections will be held in person this fall?
We know two things about this fall's elections with certainty. One, that they will be held on time and on schedule, and two, that every citizen will have a right to vote by mail. And so we're working on enforcing both of those pieces right now and ensuring that citizens know how to exercise their right to vote by mail effectively and securely, and that our clerks have all the tools they need to receive and process and count what will, under any circumstance, be more ballots sent by mail than ever before in our state's history. That said, we will always seek to preserve some way of in-person voting as well, both for voters with limited physical abilities, but also for voters who simply decide on election day that they want to vote and cast their ballot. So just as we did in our May 5th election, we will have some way to allow safe in-person voting. And we're looking at various models of how to do that, including acquiring PPE, masks, gloves, and all the rest for our election workers if needed in this fall's election.
Has there been any substantial change since March of the number of Michiganders already thinking ahead to November and trying to get in line for absentee ballots?
Yes, we anticipate, and this starts in just a few days, that more citizens than ever will be requesting their ballots be sent to them in the mail. And notably, once a ballot is sent to you in the mail, you can return it through the mail, but there are also, you can also return it in person, drop it off at your clerk's office, for example, if you want that additional sense of confirmation that it's been received. We're also working at looking and installing drop boxes around the state and other ways to encourage ballot return and options for ballot return. And if there are precincts on election day, you can even bring it to the precinct and vote right there. So there's as long as the ballot's received by 8 o'clock on election day, people have various options for returning it. And so we are encouraging citizens to sign up to receive their ballots for August and November. And you can sign up for August and November with the same form.
Well, Secretary Benson, thank you for your time today, and we'll look forward to checking back in with you later in the year.
Certainly. Thank you, and stay safe and stay healthy.
Jocelyn Benson, Secretary of State for Michigan.